Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands.
Ethical behavior is doing the right thing when no one else is watching, even when doing the wrong thing is legal. Aldo Leopold.
Out of?
I think that's out of the Sand County Almanac. I don't actually know.
Alright.
I don't know if it matters where it's from.
I wouldn't reckon. No one's going to come back you for a copyright issue or plagiarism. I guess can't really... Well, can you plagiarize speech?
The thing is, I said who it was by.
That is true. You did. So, if anybody's got an issue, we're sorry.
Come talk to me.
Yeah. Hit me up. Drop a line.
Yeah. It's April 7th.
Yes, sir.
2018. Substantially colder here in Manitoba than it's supposed to be.
Yeah, this...
I don't understand.
Mother Nature is playing the world's longest April Fool's joke. I don't get it, but hey... We live here. We deal with it.
With the weather being cold, me and a pal, Mr. Brett Thiessen himself, BT91.
The man, the myth.
The legend.
The legend.
One quick note about him. Back in his racing days, his motocross days, it was either win or crash.
Checkers or wreckers.
Yeah. But anyways, as far as cold spring in Manitoba here... went looking for those furry aquatic mammals they call beavers.
Big old tails.
And it turns out even the swamps are still pretty frozen. There's about, altogether from the spots we checked out, I think found, I don't know, 20 square feet of water. So.
Rather dry.
Quite cold and miserable and frozen yet.
There's something to be said about the experience of being outside, whether it's cold or not.
It's good and it's bad.
It's good and it's bad. But, quick little, I wouldn't call it a plug, but I guess our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families affected in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. With the Humboldt Broncos hockey team. They were involved in a pretty bad crash last night on their way to a game to play Nipawin. Actually, there's a local boy from Steinbach playing in Nipawin.
That's right.
So 14 players lost their lives and 14 more are in hospital. So thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Go out to those families that lost their kiddos just playing a game.
It's a hard day.
That's a hard day for a lot of
folks.
It's going to
be a hard while for a few folks, yeah.
I was out there not that long ago. Well, not in Humboldt, but it was in Estevan, Saskatchewan.
And that was a couple days ago.
That was Thursday, yes, sir. That was a drive.
Boy, good thing it ain't hunting season. That would have been some valuable time.
Oh, I would have not gone.
All right. If you're getting paid both ways, that's all right.
I am getting paid. Nice 16 and a half hour day. So
that helps.
Yep.
Pad the wallet a bit.
Little bit. Pay for a little more gear.
A fella can always use a little bit extra cash on the barrel head.
Yeah, that would be true. So, I heard you did a thing the other day.
What did I do?
On the old YouTube.
Oh, shoot. Yes. I didn't even know where you were going with that.
Not bad.
Started up the Flatlands Field and Foul YouTube page. So, if you want to check it out, there's already one... pretty cool video on there.
It's pretty neat. Isn't there two?
There's actually two, but...
Because one's a teaser. One thought.
It's just a...
Oh, no. Your first video was
just
your...
just kind of a trial.
Yeah, it was your... making your...
Beaver cage.
There we go. Yeah, I got you.
But the first installment of Flatlands Field and Foul, I don't even know what the name is here right now, but just the... The TV show, the interweb, the vlog, perhaps.
I guess it could be a vlog, but you're not really doing a whole lot. Like, you're not blogging on a video. You're out there shooting what you're doing. I guess maybe that would be a vlog.
I think that's a vlog.
I would say more of a interweb series of the 2018 hunting season.
But,
like, you could have a...
Yeah. You ever watch those UFC embedded ones? That they... The week leading up to the big cards, they do these... They're called UFC embedded, and they do, you know, usually 5, 6, 7, 8 episodes. And it's all behind the scenes. It's all, like, with the fighters and with their camps and stuff.
Okay.
And there's no narration. It's just all raw footage.
Yeah.
And whether they're talking or not, and interviewing, like, nutritionists and whatever, like, just... You know, saying how things are going, how the cut's going, and etc.
I got you.
And then they call that a vlog.
Okay. That's fair.
Like a video blog.
It's a video blog. No, I get you. I get you.
And by the way, that one was all self-filmed.
That is all self-filmed. And it turned out really well. Like, I watched it as soon as it was up. And it turned out really well.
You know, there's better, there's worse.
Hey.
It's a learning experience.
When you're balling on a budget.
Speaking of balling on a budget. It is not the easiest way to go about things.
No, that is not. When you're 23 and 24 years old and still working a
full-time job
to put food on a table, the dollar amount of gear that you can bring home tends to be few and far between.
Not ideal.
No.
But.
So, I guess, okay, that brings up a question in my mind right away.
All
right. So when you're, let's say, you know, whatever, you've saved for a few months, you've got an idea of your next gear purchase, right? Whether that be a freezer, a backpack, binos, new gun,
a bow,
arrows, whatever it is. What do you, like, how do you decide to go with, I don't want to say a cheaper brand, but at a lower cost point, as opposed to saying, you know, for example, if you go buy a $100 Tasco set of binoculars, or a $400 set of Vortex.
Let me tell you about this. This is something I'm involved in right now, as we speak. I've got plans. I like to hunt a lot of waterfowl. If I could speak English, that would help. I like to hunt a lot of waterfowl, and up till now, I've always just been using my Remington Wingmaster pump. And now, I like Weatherby. I don't own any Weatherbys, but they make a semi-auto. I want to pick up a semi-auto now. And they make one that's called the SA-08.
Okay.
And in the semi-auto world, it's probably the best bang for your buck. You're looking at a black synthetic for about $700 Canadian at Cabela's.
Okay.
Versus, which is also, that's only a 3-inch chamber. But in my experience, 3-inch shells, they work plenty fine. A lot of guys, no, 3.5, 3.5.
Well, yeah, because I've always heard a lot of waterfowl guys say they won't shoot anything other than 3.5.
Yeah, well,
but I mean, teach their own.
How many? I kill birds, man.
Kill birds.
But I could go and spend, you know, $1,200, $15, $2,000, $25, you know, I could, like, I'm not knocking the bigger, more expensive brands. That's not what I'm trying to do here.
But
I'm a guy on a budget. I work a full-time job. I got gear to buy. I got, you know, vehicle repairs to do. I got savings to fill.
Yeah.
You know, my budget runs out quicker than you think sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean.
Oh, for sure.
Thank
goodness for tax refund season.
I am not getting a whole lot back this year, to be honest. But
I got a fair bit, but that went to other bills.
Yeah. But to my point, you don't always have to go out and buy the best, the baddest brand, whatever, the most expensive thing. You know, you say to your buddies, "Hey, look, I bought this Beretta $2,000 shotgun," or
"Yeah,
hey, I went and bought this Hoyt bow for $1,500.
Yeah.
Because this guy has it and says it's awesome.
Campaign shoots a Redworks, you're going to go out and buy a Redworks.
Yeah.
Do you need
a Redworks? Maybe. Can you kill something with a a reputable brand that's cheaper.
For sure. I mean,
we can speak from experience here.
That we can. I mean, how many times do you see an old guy stroll out in the field, even if you're just shooting skeets, with an old, like, just an old shotgun and nail him?
Exactly.
Like, shot after shot after shot. He knows that gun, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's, at the end of the day, sure, you know what, nice gear, there's a point in your life where you can get it, right? You know, where I look at my dad. My dad's makes a considerable more, a considerable bigger income than I do, and he's got a little more leeway in his gear purchases. I mean, and he still buys the, you know, a more cost effective.
It's not a bad item. Thing.
Not at all. I mean, I think, like, for me personally, like, my next purchase is a set of binos, right? So I'm hemming and hawing over. Yeah, I would love to own a set of Vortex binoculars. Absolutely love it. Do I want to pay $400 for a set of, for some glass? No, not really. But I think, you know, if I can get a cheaper, I hate using that word, a lower price point, even if the glass is maybe slightly, you know, maybe not as good as the Vortex glass, and they last me 10 years, well, that's 10 years of saving, I use the quotations, right? Saving for the Vortex, right? When I get there.
So, but you might also find out, let's say you're looking for the Vortex for $400.
Yeah.
And then in that range, there's also a Leupold, and there's also maybe a Nikon, and maybe a
cheap Swarovski?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. They're all in that same group, comparable prices, and all of a sudden, you know, you want the Vortex real bad, but all of a sudden, Leupold comes on sale.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
like, and I'm just using Vortex as an example, right? Because I know for years, like, we have a Vortex scope, and that scope is the best scope we own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so clear. I've shot out of a Swarovski scope, and it's like, holy smokes, that's a scope, right? That you can, it.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain to anybody who doesn't hunt, right? Glass isn't just glass, right? But I know
glass is gas and coatings and etc.
Exactly. As long as you're getting yourself a good anti-fog. Yeah.
But as far as, you know, buying gear on a budget, one thing that I don't want to go and buy the cheapest thing you can find.
Yeah.
I want to buy, like, I'm not going to go buy the most expensive thing. I'm not going to go buy the cheapest thing. I'm going to find something that's reputable, good brand, and somewhere's in the middle.
What does old Cody Jinx say? I'm somewhere in the middle, and that's just fine.
Yeah.
But, so. I hear you. I know, like, starting out, when I first got into hunting, and it was buy the cheapest gear you could, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I started out hunting, I was hunting the back 40 out of a tree stand, you know, 600 yards from my house. I didn't have to worry about cold. I didn't have to worry. If I was too cold, I didn't hunt.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was very easy to just go inside and warm up if you wanted to. Now, as I get older and do bigger hunts and more stuff like that, you spend a little more money, because I think it really is an investment for any hunter, right?
But also, as far as, you know, gear on a budget, having patience to wait for deals.
Yeah.
Like, in fall time, I finally picked up some proper cold weather gear for waterfowl and actually for big game.
Yeah.
And I wanted something for a long, long time. I didn't have something proper that was windproof, waterproof, you know, warm. I waited until it came on sale, and I punched the ticket. I got exactly, I ended up getting exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I am very grateful, I guess, but, you know, I think gear on a budget, you got to have patience, and you got to be able to maybe say, you know what, I want this brand, but I'm going to go with this brand instead, because
for now, point.
And a big thing, keep your stuff maintained.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people say, oh, don't go wasting money on all those hunting gear and guns and stuff. Well, if you keep it maintained, it, you know, an investor might say different, but it's an investment.
Oh, it is for sure.
And it's an investment that's going to last you a long time if you treat it properly.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It doesn't have to be the $3,000 scope. It can be the $500 scope. And if you treat it right and
whatever. Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think it's no different than anything else in life, right? If you maintain your cost of using whatever that item is way low. Think of a vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. If you do the maintenance on your vehicle, you know what? Things are going to break, right?
That's the reality of it.
There's unforeseen, you know, you're hunting in the bush and your call or your bull falls out of the tree. Stuff like that, it happens.
Yeah.
That's apart from maintenance. And then, you got to go buy a new bull or you got to replace cams or shoot, you go to pull back your bull and your string snaps out of the
blue. Got experience with that.
Yeah. And then it's a day before you're leaving for a 3-day hunt and it's like, oh, now I have to find a string.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. Dang nabbit.
Yeah.
No, there's something to be said about price points and you know, just to add to your point, I mean, my Ridge Reaper set too, I had been looking for a good early and mid-season set for
some time.
I had hemmed and hawed whether what I was going to buy, and I went to Cabela's on a Friday with a buddy of mine, and... No, it was Thursday. It was a Thursday I went to Cabela's. Because the Friday me and you went, and that's when the...
Are you sure we went on a Friday? I don't think we went on a Friday.
It was a Friday.
I thought I had to go to work the next day. Because didn't I buy a dehydrator the same day?
No. That was a different trip.
Oh. No, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. It was a different trip. The dehydrator... I bought something there too.
Yeah, you did.
I think that was the same day we bought them green shirts, actually.
Could be.
But anyway, yeah, so I had went on a Thursday and seen all the Under Armour stuff on sale, and then I saw they had the set and they only had one of my size left. And when we went back, whether it was Friday or Saturday now, I can't remember. But
it happened to still be there.
Still be there and
hee and haw and try something else and
just like the fit, and you know what, that stuff has not failed me yet, but it, you know, I wear it. For the most part, I wear it during hunting season. I mean, I'll take the jacket out if it's really bitterly cold outside. I'll throw a sweater underneath it and it's warm. But
yeah.
For the most part, I wear that strictly for hunting season, and that's the maintenance on it, right? It sits in an airtight bag the rest of the year. So, but...
Patience.
It's a lot like hunting with a full-time job. It's the patience side of things.
Yeah. Which is difficult.
Is it ever? I tried booking off some vacation time coming up here.
How did that go?
Oh, good grief. Because, as you know, I'm already going to Daytona next February for the 500.
The Great American Race?
The Great American Race. The biggest race of the year, and it's the first one.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, pretty neat. But anyways, yeah, I'm going to Daytona in February of 2019. For a week, so I got that booked off, and then, you know, I don't know, whatever, we've talked about putting in for elk now, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, when weeks would work to do that, because, again, it's kind of a...
It's a tricky scenario.
It is, because we don't know if we're going to get it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a good chance if we both put in for archery. It's a good chance. There's a chance we could both get drawn.
Oh, for sure.
And, I mean, that would be fun.
Even though you can still party hunt. I believe you can, off those tags,
you can still party hunt. Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on that. You can still party hunt it. So if even one of us gets drawn, I mean...
You split the animal in half if you're lucky enough to take one.
Yeah, and that's also antlerless. It doesn't have to be doesn't have to be an antlered animal. So we have basically four critters we can shoot. A bull or cow elk, or a bull or cow moose. Mm-hmm. Anything that walks, and you know what, we can get whitetail tags as well, so we can go in there with two sets of tags, and no matter what we're going to see, we can blouch, which would be kind of a neat experience. So figuring out time to get that off, and it makes a fella want to pull his hair out.
Uh-huh. And there's only so much time a fella has to hunt around work.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, early fall, you're lucky that you got long evenings still.
Yep.
So if you're not working late days or whatever, you can go sit in the stand, go pass shoot some birds or whatever, whatever you want. But it's always, it's not, it's, you're stuck to basically weekend hunts if you're lucky enough to not be working Saturdays or
whatever. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, once you start hitting November, even October, end of October, like the days are getting mighty short.
Mighty short, leaving you little opportunity.
So you gotta try and...
After that time change in November, coming up to rifle season, you got like, if you're quitting work at 5, go home.
It's dark, yeah.
Go home.
By the time you're home, it's dark.
Go make supper. You got...
Yeah.
Go eat, make your tag sandwich because you got no time.
Exactly. So you're working on weekends and then maybe the odd day if you're lucky to just, you know, sneak away for a Friday or a Monday, you can hunt for 3 days. But even that, like, the boss man starts getting frustrated when every Monday you're calling in sick because...
He knows what you're up to.
Yeah, he knows you're not sick. You got a fever. You got buck fever.
Yeah.
But...
You know, hopefully as the years pass on, things will get easier, or the opportunities will be more plentiful, and the ease of getting off work or away from work will be there.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I can't wait for the day that it's not a, like, oh man, I'm going to miss this and this many hours, my paycheck's going to be this and this much. Once I have, you know, a good chunk of gear bought, which I do have a good set, but once you have a good chunk of gear set and you're not worried about, you know, how you're going to make a mortgage payment, hey, I'm going to go hunting for 3 days.
Yep.
Or 4 days. Or a week. And you don't have to save up not only for the trip, but for the time you're missing, right?
Yeah.
Your bills don't stop coming in and just because you're hunting or on vacation.
No.
I think that's something not a lot of people realize.
Well, it's the same thing as going on vacation, pretty much.
You're
spending money on your hotels and your meals, etc. You're going and you're missing work, so you're lucky enough to have vacation hours, you know, you're using that up and you're getting your normal check, but chances are you're on vacation, you're gonna be spending more with your activities and hotels and your, you know, food away from home. And
I think the nice thing with hunting though is you don't necessarily always have to stay at a hotel.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. Right? Like, so you might be able to get a break on that. But
you're still paying for your meals, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's, think about it, you go and buy a Rocky Mountain house or any, you know, shelf stable food, it's $12 for a bag. Almost anywhere in Manitoba.
Pretty much.
So now you're spending $12 a meal. You're probably gonna eat, you know, for the supper portion of it, they say bring two for each meal. Because one's just not enough calories, especially if you're walking.
Yeah.
So now you're gonna spend $24 on supper. Well, that's just like going to Don's and ordering a lot of food.
Or going to, you know, Boston Pizza.
Pizza
and sitting down, having a full meal and having a cold beverage, you know?
Exactly, have an adult bevy. And so now you're gonna do that for a week.
Yeah.
And then your lunches, right? You're still gonna bring sandwiches and bread and your breakfast. Maybe you can cheap out and get good oatmeal, which isn't, I love oatmeal.
Oatmeal is cheap, so
I'm good with that. But
it's cheap and it gives you energy.
It does. It's a good, powerful
thing. I eat oatmeal every day before work. Whole oatmeal.
That's
all I eat.
You know, that's one thing I've never got into. I have never once got into eating breakfast. Like, I'll eat breakfast if, you know, Saturday morning I'll go to town for breakfast. Old son, don't give me that.
You that got Mennonite your priorities smirk. Wrong, old son. Fella needs to eat breakfast in the morning.
See, I usually don't eat till supper.
Just have a small bowl of oats. You'll feel better.
See, but I find I'm hungrier sooner then.
Exactly.
Like, I'm hungrier at 11.
Grab some fruit with that or something, you know. Eat your oats at whatever time you get up, like 6:30, whatever it is.
5:45. Yeah, I got you.
Eat your breakfast. And then see if you can fit maybe some fruit in there afterwards. You know, if you have a quick lull in the day, you can grab an apple, grab an orange or something. Or
lately, I've started getting into eating a bowl of yogurt in the morning.
Ooh.
I love yogurt.
A lot of yogurt fan.
Oh, love it. Nice cup of coffee and a bowl of yogurt and maybe some toast. That'll usually fill me up till about 1, 2 o'clock. And at 2 o'clock, I just fill up on coffee until supper time.
Okay, whatever you say.
But
I'll tell you, I like to have I don't eat a whole lot of oatmeal. I usually take a third cup scoop oatmeal. Make that in the morning first thing
before
work. Work till, I might sneak an apple around 9, but I'll at least have an apple and probably like a peanut butter bar, or like a peanut bar, or
oat
bar.
Those are dangerous.
At 10, I'll have an apple in that.
Yep.
And then I'll wait till lunch. You know, try to have a, you know, listen to what my body says and eat lunch accordingly. Like, yeah, not too big. And then probably slam down another fruit around 2 o'clock and then have another one at 3. Probably with, yeah, have some more fruit then or some vegetables, whatever. Yeah. Interchangeable. Whatever makes you feel good. And then wait for supper.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do. I like to eat a lot of fruit and vegetables these days. And a lot of meat. Heavy on the meat.
It's meat, sir.
It's meat, sir. But, yeah, hunting with a full-time job is not easy. And it, especially if you have to go out of town or, like, out of your way to go hunting.
Oh, exactly. I mean,
you got to drive an hour. You got to drive half an hour. Well, after work, you're done whatever time you're done. Like,
and you got to quickly scent control. Like, you got to... It's tough. It's extremely tough. I mean, even... I've got a nice section of land at my parents there at the farm, but even to hunt that, I mean, it's hard to get off work at 5, 6 o'clock and then quickly, you know, throw your camo on, do as best scent control as you can, because you're going to stink. You're going to have a must about you.
Yeah.
And you're going to rip out to the stand and not see a deer. It's tough. It's, especially, I mean, in this area when there's, if you don't have permissions, you're kind of hooped.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. But as for it, you know what? It's a season of life. I can say that we've done pretty well with it the last few years.
Yeah.
With hunting with a full-time job. And now that we're going to, you know, hopefully get into some bigger hunts, I mean, might mean a little more time off. Just means you got to be a little smarter on the old checkbook, but...
Oh, one more note on, like, vacations and hunting, like, taking a week off to go hunting, but as far as your vacation pay goes and et cetera. Oh, now I just lost it.
She gone.
Oh.
Oh, she back.
Yeah, like, you know, vacation, you're going to be spending money on your hotels and food and all that stuff and all your attractions, but, you know, you're going hunting. If, let's say you're going hunting out of province or out of state. You're going to be paying a pretty penny on your license, so that's another thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not, like, you got to definitely, if you're not, you know, sitting pretty at the bank, you got to be doing things wisely.
Oh, and you, I mean, it's all about being smart. I mean, I think it was Mr. Ranella that was talking about how he watched a guy roll up in a brand new $60,000 truck and pulls out a $100 pair of binoculars, right?
Yeah.
And that's just priorities, right?
Yeah.
If your priority isn't hunting big game, and I mean doing a week off, sure, you know what, you can go out and hunt Saturday, Sunday, and you know,
have
you
great
can,
success.
Yeah, and shoot, you know, lots of deer and put lots of meat in the freezer. But I know for a guy like me, and this might sound selfish, I'm not happy with just deer. I love deer, and don't get me wrong, nothing against deer. But I want the opportunity to go out and shoot an elk or shoot a moose or shoot a bear. Go experience this vast land that we have to hunt.
Here in Canada land.
I mean, shoot, caribou hunting is still, I mean, I still talk about that hunt. That was 5-6 years ago already.
It's something that sticks with you for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Long after the meat's gone, long after the antlers have collected dust, there's still stories, and I mean, it's...
As long as your mind's still in your head.
Yeah, as long as you're still, you know, able to...
Well, you know, hopefully
draw
you've
from
got,
the old memory
hopefully
bag.
You've got the kid or two to pass the story on to, and they can tell it to their friends at school and be a cool kid or whatever.
No, I'd agree. But, yeah, that's kind of... Oh, yeah, duh.
That's kind of, yeah, like, it's
brain
not...
Fart.
It's a whole host of good things.
You know what else is a whole host of good things?
Texas Motor Speedway.
TSM.
TMS.
TMS. That's what I said.
Who do you got for Texas this week? You're going to say Jimmy because he won last year.
I'm going to say Jimmy because he's won...
A lot.
A lot of races at Texas. Last year was his first win of the year, was at Texas.
Yeah.
However, the old 9 car...
Mr. Elliot Chase.
Got his first ever Xfinity win at Texas. So, you know, I think the Hendrick cars, I mean, they've been getting better and better each week.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, I'm pulling for the Hendrick guys. Even if it's not Jimmy, it's got to be a Hendrick guy. I think they can dominate.
Bowman the Showman?
Yeah, could be Bowman the Showman. I mean, Byron's no slouch.
He's no slouch, but I don't think he's ready to win yet.
Yeah,
I don't mean to offend him or any
but
fans.
Those are the guys that usually get the win. And I know when he finished in the top 20 the other day, he had said that was a big confidence boost for him because he felt like he could run up with those guys. And he's been driving not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand you're racing some pretty high caliber guys.
Yeah, you're racing the best drivers
the best
in the
world.
Best.
So, I mean, I think it's I hope it's going to be a Hendrick. I think it's going to be a Hendrick car. Toyotas haven't had a great deal of luck in Texas, but
they've been, they've been doing well this year.
They've been doing well.
Mr. Busch has had some pit problems.
Yeah.
So who's your pick?
I'm gonna say Jimmy or Chase. It's got to be one of the two. I you know what? I'm gonna say Chase. I think Chase gets his first win in Texas. I hope he gets his first win in Texas, and I think he will. I think he can do it.
All right. You know who I'm going to say.
I know who you're going to say. What was the qualifying?
Didn't Kurt Busch get the pole? My pick for Texas is Kyle Busch or Chase, but I'm going to lean to Chase this week because he still needs his first win.
We're pulling for you, Mr. Elliott.
Pulling for you.
Call in.
Call in.
Got an interview to do with you.
Get Mr. Blaney on the phone as well.
Yes, sir. Ryan Blaney.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they did the qualifying last night. But, yeah, so. Speaking of... No, that's not a segue at all.
All right.
Mugs bantering. I came across a listener...
It was Mr. Busch. Sorry to interrupt you.
It was Kurt.
Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch.
So,
the 41 Stuart Haas automation car.
All three. The top three, I believe.
Oh. The four of Kevin Harvick, I'm sure.
Harvick and I think...
Boyer.
Mr. Clint Boyer.
How about that?
Harvick, who won there last fall, he'll start second and Clint Boyer will start third.
Look out for those blue ovals.
Mr. Blaney will start fourth.
Penske.
Penske, followed by Denny Hamlin, MTJ, MTJ, Logano, Kyle Busch, and seven-time
Jimmy
running in the top 10.
How about that?
Attaboy. He's got speed.
He's got speed.
And he's not going to be starting in the back of the pack with a bunch of jokers that are going to wreck him.
Yeah.
But, see what happens.
Yep.
That race is tomorrow
after lunch, I think.
I don't know
what time it is, but probably 1:30, 2:30 kind of thing.
I'd reckon. Somewhere there.
On a side note, just to wrap this thing up, listener requests. If you want us to talk about something, let me know. Let Tanner Friesen know. Shoot me a line. Drop me a line.
Drop you a line, a DM.
Whatever you want to call
PM
it.
PM on Facebook, because you can find you on Facebook.
That's right.
At...
Flatlands Field and Foul.
On Instagram at?
It's the same thing.
At Flatlands Field and Foul. I'm just confirming for the listener. I'm not talking to you. Confirming for the listener here.
All right.
Because sometimes they don't understand hashtag.
It's not. That's fine. But they just got to listen.
Listen to the mugs.
Because it's just two mugs bantering.
It is just two mugs bantering.
All right. Listener request, though.
Yes, sir.
I came across one this week.
All right, what do you got?
From a coworker, actually.
Okay, an avid listener?
Yeah.
Right on?
Yeah.
Shout out to?
Mr. Cool. That's all I'm going to say.
Right on, Mr. Cool.
Cats versus eagles.
And we're
domestic on. Cats versus the type of eagles such as bald eagles and or golden eagles.
So not the Latvian eagle.
Not Janis Patelis.
Janis Patelis.
No, not
okay.
Him. I mean, like, the bird of prey, the
all right.
Sign of America, the nickname of Khabib Nurmagomedov, the eagle.
America.
Khabib. America.
Yeah. Seen a bald eagle the other day.
Yeah, me too.
What's your opinion on it? What's the context of the question? Like, stealthiest or what?
Well, I mean,
greatest killer.
Domestic house cats are supposedly the most efficient hunter in the animal kingdom, right? So they say.
I wouldn't agree.
The most efficient hunter.
I wouldn't agree.
I would.
I wouldn't. I would have to go with a ferret. Because boy howdy, we put a ferret in one of our barns. We had a big rat problem. We had ferret in our barns, and that thing cleaned. It took about 3 days, and there was about 18 dead rats.
All right.
And a bunch of mouses. The mouses we didn't find at 8, but...
Anyways. That's getting away from the question here.
Sure.
Cats versus eagles.
Okay.
Okay, let's start off like this. I mean, I don't exactly know the context of the question, but... Let's say... What do you think a cat can do against an eagle?
Against an eagle?
Let's say he's dive bombing.
All right. Martinsville. Dive bombing.
Dive bombing, yeah. Let's say
Tony Stewart-esque.
Sure.
All right. Okay, so... Got two trains of thought on this whole ordeal.
All right.
Here.
Let's hear about it.
So, I mean, eagles are freaking fast.
They are ridiculous.
I've seen them dive bomb fish.
Oh,
and
sure.
Poof, pick them right up.
Yeah.
Now, if a cat, a domestic cat, can see that bird coming, I mean...
And he's got some cover.
Got some cover.
He's got a good chance of survival.
I think so. But the way I see it is... Eagles are ambush predators.
Yeah.
They're going to come at you when you're not expecting it.
They're going to probably bring you into a corner somewhere. Right? They're going to chase you into the corner.
No, they'll pick you up.
Yeah.
But what
I'm saying is they're going to get you. They're going to try and get you away from that cover. They're going to draw you out with fire or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
And why would they, you know, it's a big mean bird. Not mean bird, but big, strong... efficient bird.
Yeah.
I think it's going to try and draw you out into the open.
That's what
or
I mean.
Draw you into a corner where you can't escape kind of thing.
Well, see, kids.
So it's face to face.
Normally, I would agree. However, an eagle's not going to land and then try and claw you.
That's not what I mean.
In a corner.
That's not what I mean.
Okay, what do you mean by a corner?
From the air, it's going to try and scare the prey into... Say a corner, somewhere where it's cornered, so that it's like only got one way out, and that way is through the bird.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
I see what you're saying. The reason I don't necessarily agree with that is because if there's one way out, that bird still has to grab said prey and then fly out. Right, he's not gonna put you in a place where he can't swoop and take you. Right, so he's gonna come at you, talons out, like. Screaming down like an old Spitfire, just screaming down. You guys can't see my hands right now, but it's a pretty incredible talent like that. And you're gonna come down and just sink them talons into you and either pick you up, carry you away, or drop you, let you go, drop you from a height. Because I've seen eagles do that to barn mice. Middle of a field, all of a sudden this thing comes screaming in. I'm sitting there cultivating. And eagle blows by me, picks up a mouse, and then drops him from a height, kills
him. Yeah, obviously that's the desired attack approach, would be an open field and let's just run him down kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know, I feel like an eagle could easily, like, birds are agile.
Yeah, they are.
You could come down, get him into the figurative corner.
Yep, I hear you.
I guess you could kind of say just running him down the open field is a figurative corner.
Yeah. Because he can still see him. It's not like he's putting him in a corner of a building.
Yeah, but...
Where he can't get out.
He's only like... Yeah, if he's uncovered, there's only so much time he has left on this earth.
Yeah.
Meaning prey.
I gotta say, if it was cat versus eagle, I gotta go with eagle.
Mm-hmm. But if it's a cat versus eagle on the barnyard, give the cat a...
Oh, yeah.
The cat has kudos there, I think.
Yeah, I think anywhere where there's a couple buildings or somewhere he can duck into, that cat's gonna win every time. Because they're fast and they're agile. They can move. But you put him in an open field, running him down? No, sir. That eagle's got it. Yeah. He gone.
But also the cats, typically, you know, not like the orange ones or whatever.
Yeah.
Bright colored cats, but like your typical dark colored cat. That camouflage is actually quite something.
Oh, it is.
But I mean, everything, you have more visibility from the air. So, I mean,
that's true.
If you can make that shape out, it doesn't matter what color it is. good night.
Exactly.
Good night, Jim Kite.
See you later. That cat is not going to be found.
That's right.
But.
All right.
What episode is this? Four?
Four.
Four.
You got any shower thoughts?
Any shower thoughts for this week? I should have been a little... I'm ill-prepared in the shower thought idea.
You don't have to have any shower thoughts if you don't want to.
No, I would love to have one. I'm just trying to think if I have any shower thoughts.
Hard no.
Finish your ribbons.
Finish your ribbons, kids. I'll just say that as far as gear purchasing goes, don't cheap out.
Yeah.
Some things you probably can cheap out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, have patience. Look for a good deal. And maybe don't always be a brand loyalist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If they're not sponsoring you, then don't be afraid to look at other options. I am guilty of being a brand loyalist for some things.
Oh, so am I.
And I'm not going to change my ways on everything.
No, exactly. I like my Under Armour. I do. But yeah. At the same time, I'll never shy away from trying on a Cabela's brand or Browning or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll use that as my shower thought, is there is certain things you can cheap out on. You know, I don't know how many sets of, you know, those camel nylon rain gear? Like, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a rain suit.
Okay.
But it just slips over everything.
Okay.
Instead of buying a $300 or $400 set that is waterproof,
yeah,
I'll buy a $15 set that lasts me one hunt.
Yeah.
And then I get home, and they're either garbage or I can use them for the next hunt.
Yeah.
So...
You gotta pick and choose your battles.
Exactly. I mean, boots, I would say, don't cheap out on.
Uh-huh.
Don't, you know, unless you find a really good deal.
You need your feet on
your
a hunt.
Feet will ruin the hunt.
Yeah, so.
You can always dry out. You can always, get a cheaper hat.
You can go buy a basic t-shirt for $10, $5, or you can go buy a fancy big brand name for $35. Well, yeah,
exactly. What's the difference?
It's got a brand on there and it's got a different color.
Yeah.
Maybe the fit's a little bit better, but.
At the same time, deers and antlered and waterfowled critters don't really care about what you have underneath your camel.
Exactly.
At all. So that's my shower thought.
You can find comfort in other things.
You can. Like your bed and your pillow.
And et cetera.
Etc.
Very well,
Niall.
That'll be all.
Yes, sir. I don't know if I was supposed to take this thing